You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard. It's another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Well, it is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, the 23rd of May, 2024. Of course, if you're listening to the rebroadcast, that is on Saturday. It is a rebroadcast at 9 a.m. on Memorial Day weekend. Here we come at you. Remember, you do have Monday off.
Yes, we have Monday off. I will not make a mistake and be here.
Excellent. Excellent, sir.
I'll follow you.
There we go.
There you go. And then Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP and Managing Director. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here today. Bright, sunny day here in Traverse City. It's wonderful.
It's one of those picturesque days that you go, may say, it's good to be alive. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Deanne Jennings, our own Director of Operations. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to be here. And I have to say, I am thoroughly enjoying the lilac bushes this year.
Oh, they're so
just
pretty.
Just not like we have them border one side of our house, and you just walk out, and it just smells like lilacs. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It is beautiful. I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They've been particularly, is effervescent the right word?
Mm.
Colorful and great smelling, too.
Mm-hmm.
See, you'll take it. We'll take it. Yes.
Someone sent us photos earlier that says the lilies of the valley, the spirea,
yes,
and the poppies are popping. It's a beautiful spring.
Yeah,
it certainly is. Yeah.
Spirea is that white, my wife calls it snowball, the white things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I love those things. Man, those go so far back. I remember my grandparents back near... Well, east of Rosebush, goes way back, they had those bushes in the front of their yard, and they would just, it would be gorgeous. We just loved looking at those. Gorgeous stuff. Beautiful. So if you do have a question of a financial nature, please feel free to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Attempt to answer all your financial questions of the day. If you would, Ron, how would they contact us, please?
Open your window.
Hey, you!
And yell very loudly. No, you can call us on the phone or text us. Either way, it's the same number, 231 area code 947-0023.
Cool. Thank you, Ron. So today we're talking about withdrawals and how to do that and the types of accounts you'd want to draw from. What does that look like? Well, we had a question a few weeks back. From a gentleman talking about, well, how do I take money out of these retirement accounts? Well, if you have a defined benefit plan, that is a benefit that is defined by its monthly income, or it's a plan that's defined by its benefit, if you will, to you.
Like a pension?
Like a pension. That's exactly what we're talking about. Now, well, it's
you get
like
a star there, Ron. Mm-hmm. You got
yeah,
that
exactly.
One right.
Relatively straightforward, isn't it? I just, you know, when I'm retired, let's say I'm 65, isn't that when it just pays me and then I'm good to go? Well, could be. Do you want a benefit for your wife if you pass away, sir? Let's assume it's a guy that's getting that defined benefit plan. It can be vice versa, too, of course. She gets a plan. Does she want him to get a portion of it? Most of the time, yes. Given that's the case, should you take a joint and survivor benefit? Well, are they going to live longer than me? Who knows? How much less do you need to take as a result of including them in the income? That is the question. What does that mean? That means that your benefit will be less from that defined benefit plan because you've chosen, in this case, first example, your wife as the beneficiary. She'll get the benefit, same benefit, if you choose a joint and 100% survivor benefit. Dennis, why would I want to know this stuff? Because the cost to you is the cost, the differential between those two benefits. And then you can examine, is the cost worth the value? The price of the lower income, is that worth me being able to say to her, dear, I love you more than anything, and I'll let you have half of mine, or 100% of mine, or whatever it is that worth the cost? Well, what would be my alternative? Taking a sole benefit, a sole owner benefit, if you will, on that plan. So that is a key component of any of these plans. It's not quite as simple as it might seem. Dennis, do you make everything complicated? Sure, why not? I want you to come in and see us, don't I? But you see, there is something to think about here. Do I have to think about all of this? Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, yes. And at the same time, fortunately, yes, if you have these options available to you. Options create complexity. Complexity can help you create opportunity.
So it would be a lot easier if we didn't have a choice. If they just said, here's the money, do what you want with it. Give it to who you want, whatever.
You know, we could live in Russia and not have a choice. No. Not to be smart about it, Ron, but I mean, seriously.
As you say, though, complexity,
complexity?
Options create complexity.
Yes, they tend to, and they can create opportunity. Now, not all opportunities are ones that you want to glom onto. Well, for some, if you're taking that benefit, let's say he and she, and in this case, she passes away before you, you may get a pop-up benefit. Some of the defined benefit plans of today offer you a pop-up benefit. That simply means that if she passes away, for instance, again, he is the one who worked at that place of employment. She passes away early. His benefit will pop up as though he had never taken the joint and survivor benefit. He goes back to a sole benefit, sole income benefit. Well, that's a nice option. So you see, are those options available to you? Count the cost versus the benefits. Is it worth that investment in essence that you're making? Seek counsel. Sometimes it's seeing someone like myself and or Heidi. Or Nathan, if we have a phone call.
Yeah, you might have a question about withdrawals here. We'll go
sure.
to Lake Leelanau. John is on the line. Good morning, John.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm not sure it's actually pertinent to the withdrawal. So if I'm out of bounds, let me know. But
you bet.
We are in our 70s. We have a lake home. And we're wondering if you give some advice about whether we should put the lake house into a trust for the next generation. I've heard that helps with property taxes when we pass away. Don't know if that has any estate tax.
Well, John, I don't know what happened there, but you just got cut off. So sometimes I do that. My ear will hit the hang-up button, but okay. I don't know if he'll call back or not. But
okay.
Based on what he said so far, any response? Do you have enough information to respond to that, or do you need?
You bet. Okay. Yeah, we got some of it. They're in their 70s. They have a lake house. I wrote the notes. He's wondering about putting the property into a trust. it would sound to me like he's, that's what I wanted to ask him first. Does he want to pass it on to the children? Number one. And two, do he and his wife want to pass it on to their children? Number three, if you will, do the children want the house?
That's a big question. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Sounds like he was asking, as he said, for the next generation.
It did. So. That was what I would glean from that conversation. If they want to, if he and his wife want to give it to the children and they want it, then you may want to consider some kind of a cottage planning trust where they could continue to take care of it, but there'd also be a way for them, for one, two, three, let's say they're three children, to exit. Gosh, we live in California. We're not using this place nearly as much as we thought. We'd like to get our money out of that, out of the value of that cottage. Well, how is that going to be funded? Do the other two have a way to purchase them or buy them out? Do they want to? Will that force a sale? You see, all of a sudden, it starts all these questions. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's just avoiding probate and or being part of the estate. You definitely want to, if possible, avoid probate with that property. So doing estate planning and getting these questions answered with an estate planning attorney and your financial advisor, are we always included in those conversations? Not always, but often we can make a difference in those for you, help give you more perspective. Yes, Ron?
Knowing you're not a tax attorney, but with that said, do you know offhand, is there a possibility of a tax break by putting the cottage into a trust?
It can be. What he was mentioning, I think, was the fact that the real estate taxes don't get bumped up because it's being passed directly to the children. That can make a huge difference in the real estate tax assessed on the property. So the assessed value doesn't bump up to the current value of the property. So that may be a significant part of that equation. And Heidi, would you care to?
Yeah, my family has that situation. I mean, I'm the third generation living on the property that we inherited from my great grandfather, and then through my grandmother and my dad. And
your great grandfather, what was his name?
Parm Gilbert. Okay. So he was the city attorney and the circuit court judge here in Traverse City back in the 1950s.
Gilbert Lodge.
Gilbert Lodge, Gilbert Park, Gilbert Pines, that was all him, yeah.
So he's the one who deeded it to the county then, right?
Yes, he is. That's yes. We're involved in a little controversy right now on that. But just from our property where we have a family home, we've decided to use the vehicle of a trust to protect that legacy because we want it to go on to multiple generations if they want it. So we have in there, we have it all defined as to how you extradite yourself if you don't want that, how you're paid. We tried to protect the land from being forced to be sold if one person wants out. So we've tried to set it up, and we all own shares, and it's set up like that trust was created to protect that land because we all have very strong feelings. We were all brought up coming up here, staying with Grandma every summer on that land. So we want to keep it.
You guys worked at that too. That was not a simple process. So kudos to you guys for making that happen. And it can be done.
Yeah, when my dad was still alive, we had a meeting and we were like, are you interested or are you not? So we talking to the people and making sure you're all on the same page has really helped us be able to make this work.
John's back, maybe with a
good deal.
John from
you made it back with us. Great to have you. Sorry, Ron, I interrupted you.
Sorry about I don't know what happened, but I was also wondering if I understand the benefits you described of putting it in trust.
Yeah.
But if it's in trust, do you lose the benefit of a stepped-up basis when we pass?
Ask the attorney that. I don't know. It depends on the situation. But do you have an answer to that,
Heidi? I don't know because my mother is still living, so the taxes are, we still have the homestead. Yeah.
That's probably a question for your tax advisor as well.
Fair enough. That would be the competing consideration, I guess.
You betcha.
Appreciate the information. Thank you.
John, thanks for the call. See
how, you bet.
Yeah, it just really adds. I love these kind of phone calls because
question.
It really expands our horizons to hear what you are concerned about. So next, after defined benefit plans or some of the ins and outs, what's interesting is the number of defined benefit plans, how those have declined so greatly. Defined contribution plans, defined by the amount that's put in versus the amount that you get out. Defined benefit plans, the cost has really made a huge difference there. In 1992-93, 35% of plans were defined benefit plans. Today, it's about 15% or so. So we can just say about half the number of defined benefit plans that were in existence in the early 90s are in existence today. Doesn't mean that you don't have access to one. Usually you will not. But it just further accentuates the idea or the issue that the responsibility shift is going more onto yourself in terms of how do I invest this? What's a prudent way to continue to achieve competitive returns in these accounts while adding to it as I'm able and then extricating myself from these plans? How do I draw income from them? Should I leave my money in that plan at retirement? Should I take portions out of it before under the in-service distribution option? It's amazing what you might do about this. Or if I'm 55 and I have a 401k plan, should I leave those funds in there because I can take some out without paying the 10% penalty if I've been released from the company? You see how all of these can work together to help you, assist you in your own retirement goals. Think about this in terms of, okay, we own real estate over here. We have retirement accounts here. How can this help us in retirement? And if we exit early, given the estate plans, which of the children might benefit perhaps more from the retirement accounts? Which of them might benefit more from the real estate? Had that conversation yesterday with a couple. So this may be very dynamic in what a difference you can make in their lives. Maybe one of the children is going to wind up or has been much more successful than the other financially. You don't want necessarily the one that's been more successful financially to inherit the retirement accounts because 100% of the retirement accounts in many cases are taxable. You see where that can go. Then you may also want to help one or two of the grandkids, the grandchildren, with 529 plans and all the rest. You see, it's almost like it's a plethora. It's incredible what you might do with these accounts. And yes, Ron?
We have a text question.
Sure.
Wants to know if you can explain what a simple IRA is. The person's employer contributes to that instead of a 401k.
A simple IRA is another form of defined contribution plan. It is much simpler than a defined contribution plan than a 401k. Traditionally, smaller employers
have to be under 100 employees.
Yeah, have to be under 100 employees. But traditionally, they're the ones that begin to foster or sponsor these kinds of plans for their employees. Generally, the way that it works is if you put in 3% of your compensation, the employer has to put in 3%. They match your contribution 100% up to 3% of compensation. Beyond that, then, thank you, Heidi. Beyond that, then, you're on your own in terms of how much you can put in. If you're over 50 in 2024, you can put up to $19,500 into a simple IRA plan and deduct it from your taxes. So you can really put a significant amount away still, even in a simple IRA plan. Are you taking advantage of it? Are you aware of which funds you're using? All of those kinds of questions are great, great questions for simple IRA participants. So that can be a great way to get started in terms of that's much more efficient when you're getting 100% matching contribution up to 3% of your amount that you're putting in. Make certain you're taking advantage of that within the simple IRA.
Double your money right off.
Double your money.
Free money.
You betcha.
Here's a conceptual question from somebody.
Yes.
Would you be in favor of a national government thank you day for private businesses paying for all their government spending. Show a little appreciation for the taxpayers.
National Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
You know, that it never ceases to amaze me.
Taxpayer
the ideas from listeners, we'll take it. We'll take it. Tell me about this in real person's language, Dennis. The difference between a simple and a 401k. Well, a simple IRA, we'll just say this, about half the contribution allowed. Number two, it's much simpler for the employer to administer. There's not near the cost. So a 401k is much more costly for an employer and more complex to keep it within the laws and the regulations required of 401k plans. Now, 401k plans offer more options, more ways to fund retirements. They offer the Roth option within the 401k.
They can offer loans.
They can offer loans, that sort of thing. Simple IRAs are slowly catching up to that, but Congress has said the Roth option is allowed. None of the administrators have caught up to that one yet. They cannot figure out how to get that done because we just don't have enough input yet from the IRS and how they want that reported. So shortly, we'll see more on that. Simple is simpler on its face, still allows you to put in significant dollars in a different way, and 100% of your money is vested immediately, too. 100% of the money that's vested goes into the simple IRA is vested immediately. That means if you leave your employer, you get 100% of it. But if you take it out within 2 years, there's a 20% penalty on the amounts that you withdraw versus a 10% on the 401k. Okay, I think we answered that question.
Two on the Ray Charles song, someone notes Mark Levin closes his Friday show with that song. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, I saw Ray Charles knock the mic off the piano with his face at Meadowbrook and never missed a note as stagehands recovered it.
Amazing.
He just kept on going.
You know, I have my own story. I don't know that we have time. Do we have time for like a 2-minute story? Well, some old friends in that day from the 90s, Ronnie and Kim Shaw invited us.
1990s, right?
1990s, yeah. Mm-hmm. From the 1990s, not 1890s. Ronnie, so much. Invited us to go to a Ray Charles concert over at Interlochen. And we said, oh my gosh, we'd love to go. Well, so we walk in, the place is rocking. I mean, it is jam-packed. in fact, run into the young lady I dated in high school, which had been 20 years earlier. Oh, my gosh. And we walk in. I have no idea where we're going to be sitting. Well, Ron was Mr. Seats guy at, what's the big auditorium there?
Kresge
Auditorium. So we start heading down the we didn't ask him where we were going to be sitting. I mean, we're just going along for the ride. We start walking down further, further, further. We're 2 or 3 seats from the front, watching
excellent.
Ray Charles and his band. I mean, they just rocked it.
Wow.
It
incredible.
Was so much fun. When they started the concert, the sound was off. They were getting feedback when he was up there singing. And the women, there were 3 women up there doing back vocals. And they were getting feedback, and you could see the frowns on their faces, and Ray Charles goes, hold it. And everybody stopped. He goes, I need you over there to fix that sound. I don't like it competing with a different sound than what I'm singing. You know, he said something like that. It was very Ray Charles. And so they went on again, and it did it again. It happened again. And he stopped the whole thing, and he said, am I going to have to come up there and show you how to run that sound? Oh, they got it fixed. It was like, you know, those little breaks, if you will, you never forget. It was so much fun. But, oh, my gosh, what a concert. That was a great time. Hey, Heidi,
I can answer this one. Are there any retirement accounts that you do jointly as a married couple, or should everything be in individual names?
Well, you can't own it jointly. You can only own it singly. However, the way to in effect or in essence make it joint is name your spouse as primary beneficiary. It's virtually the same thing. If you pass away, she gets it, and or vice versa. She passes away, he gets it. As long as they're 100% primary, okay? So only one person can own a retirement account, but, you know, it passes by beneficiary. All right, Heidi, all right. Key perspectives in
yes,
retirement accounts.
We have an article this week from Capital Group, which brings you the American Funds. And we're talking about portfolio reliance. And what that goes towards, we're going to do two key takeaways from this article are going to be the more reliant an investor is on their investment portfolio for retirement savings, the more likely market volatility will impact their retirement income. So what they're talking about there is the more that you have to depend on your investment accounts, your retirement investment accounts, excuse me, for income, you have to be more sensitive to if the market is up or down. Because if you're pulling money when the market is down, you're selling more shares, which can erode away some of the value of the portfolio. A second key point in this article is depending on an individual's withdrawal rate, higher levels of protected income may correspond with an increased investor confidence. And what they're saying there is the more guaranteed income you have coming in from other sources, or protected income is how they state it, that could be things like what Dennis was talking about earlier, those defined benefit plans, those pension plans. Social Security could be that. Maybe you inherited an annuity or you have an annuity that has some kind of guaranteed income provision. All those things can be looked at as protected income. So the more that you have on that side of the plate means the less reliance you have to have on your investable assets to provide a stated income. So how much an investment portfolio is relied upon for investment income? The investment portfolio for income increases, so does the potential sensitivity to market volatility or sequence of return risk. So what that statement means is that if you are taking out a larger portion of your income from assets that are in the market or something that has volatility, the more sensitive, like I mentioned earlier, you are to the ups and downs of the market. And that is the term for that is sequence of return risk. Okay, so that's what this article goes towards. And then they go into talking about a few key questions. And they say things that you need to think about when you're thinking about your reliance factor is how elastic are your income requirements? Can you delay certain lifestyle wants to meet your living needs in the current period?
Now, that can be significant help in terms of making this portfolio last. If you can be flexible with the amount that you have to withdraw, that can be huge in terms of making this thing last longer.
Right. So are those expenses discretionary? Can you pull back on how much you go out to eat when the times are more difficult? Things to that nature. Can you live on a loss of income? If you lose one of your sources of income, are you able to rely on the portfolio to provide that? And, of course, you always want to take into to mind those secure incomes or those guaranteed incomes in that determination. So the withdrawal rate from a portfolio can help determine how long retirement income can last. The rate is affected not only by the income that is needed to live, but also by the protected income sources a client has, such as Social Security, pension income, and annuities.
I call that guaranteed incomes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's key. Guaranteed incomes always are the best types of income generally to have. But again, what are the guarantees afforded by and how much are you drawing from those? How much is that providing of your total income? Those are the key questions there.
Exactly. And they're getting towards the point, if you taking out a higher withdrawal rate and a lot of your assets are in the market, that could bring into question the sustainability of that portfolio to be able to provide that income. So where that number is an individual problem. It's something you have to look at what sources, how much do you have of those secure income sources? How much do you have to invest in the market? What is your timeline that you have to invest those funds? If you're going to be a short-term investor, that's a lot different investing than the long-term picture. Maybe you have to split your portfolio up and part of it be short-term, part of it be invested for the long-term. All these questions come into play when you're looking on your reliance on that portfolio for income.
Utilizing, in essence, buckets. Buckets, short-term, medium-term, and long-term. What am I able, or what do I need to put in the short-term bucket so I don't have to put up with the market's risks? Because the markets do go down, as we're seeing in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Markets go up and go down, all right?
Yeah, and 2022 was a really tough year for a lot of people who had a high reliance on market-based investments because the market really had a lot of down.
Yeah, first time in 45 years, as Deanna had told us from her stats, mm-hmm. Both stocks and bonds were down in 22. Mm-hmm. 45 years, yeah.
Yeah, so when I was studying for my RICP, we spent a lot of time looking at this problem. And we called it in our class, we called it the income gap. The gap between those reliable sources, those protected sources that we talked about, and what your budget is for your daily living expenses. Hopefully, your guaranteed income sources are larger than your budget, but most of the time, the budget's a little higher than those income sources, and that's where your portfolio comes into play to provide that difference.
Yes, to bolster the rest of it.
So by helping to reduce some of the withdrawal stress, the more you have in guaranteed income or those reliable sources of income, the less stress you may feel as a investor out there in the market, because you can weather those times a little bit better if your guaranteed income is a little bit higher than if it isn't. So there are private products out there that you can invest in to provide guaranteed incomes. There are also your pensions, Social Security, and other rental income if you own real estate. So there are a lot of pieces of the puzzle that you can put together to manipulate that guaranteed part of the income and then your investment part. And it really does play a part in just your emotional side of the way you look at investing. If you know that most of your income's protected, you can feel a little bit more comfortable mm-hmm. taking on some additional risk investing in a long-term play.
Statistically, clients with pensions tend to be much happier. Retirees with pensions, mm-hmm. that guaranteed income of mm-hmm. some type, tend to do much better in retirement in terms of overall happiness. That's a stat that's out there, too. So it does make a difference. If you have a portion of your income is guaranteed, a portion of it fluctuating depending on the markets, and then maybe even one or two other options as well in terms of where can I draw income. Do I want to go back to work if I need to? If this thing is a long-term problem, maybe it's an extra 3 to 5 years in retirement that you're working even part-time. Taking a look at what all those options are for you can make a very nice difference in the total overall success rate, your chance of success at retirement. Now, we had a question on the text line, Ron.
Basically, it says, are there milestone amounts that you suggest to have for savings at 30, at 40, at 50 years old? What do you typically see clients have saved by those milestones?
There are milestone numbers that you see some of the bigger money management firms talking about. For instance, for maybe at 30s, 3 times your income, 40s, 4 times, 50s, 5. In 60s, perhaps 6 to 8. Those are generally the numbers that I've seen. But what I see, it's soup to nuts. Now, keep in mind, and some of it is nuts, keep in mind that the numbers that you want to think about is, it's not just what you have saved in retirement accounts. It's what other sources of income you're going to have. a guaranteed income of $2,000 a month, obviously, is about $24,000 a year. When I put that into an equation, if you will, or equate that to a lump sum that you generally want at retirement, it'd be worth somewhere in the range, if you're drawing 4.5% a year from that portfolio, that's a moderate withdrawal rate. It's not crazy. It's not too conservative. It's equal to about $533,000. So $533,000 in a lump sum to provide you that level of guaranteed income, somewhat of an equivalent, okay? So think about that in terms of what it's worth in regards to a lump sum. It's not all about the lump sums, but to the extent that you can save, it's fantastic. Now, taking a look at what is it going to take to get $1 million together, $1 million, as Ron so often says, at 6%, assuming that's your rate of return over that 20-year period, 20 years, you'd need to save $2,164 a month to get there. So we'll just say this, about $2,200 a month. That's not small. But if you're looking at gathering that same $1 million over 30 years, one moment, please. I did bring my handy-dandy calculator here.
I could provide some.
Assuming the same rate of return at 6%, the payment would only need to be $1,000 a month approximately. So 20 years versus 30, that's the impact of compounding.
Start early.
It's dramatic. So given that you have some time, keep in mind the train doesn't stop at age 65. It continues. Mm-hmm. And I need to apologize to you, Deanne, because we just went right on by
the
stats.
That's okay. Very good.
Somebody's
questions.
Trying to call Dennis. and we had
it's
some
a lot
great
of questions.
Stats
good questions
today. Thank you, Deanne. Mm-hmm. My apologies again.
It's okay.
All right.
So we will wrap up today. This program will be repeated as always, 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Thanks for the musical entertainment today. As we get ready to head into Memorial Day weekend 2024.
Yes, indeed.
For the
Memorial
good old
Day.
USA, thanks, you guys. We are thankful. And to our veterans who have served, thank you very much.
ProutFinancialDesign.com, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings, thank you all.